Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me today. We are here with Nicole Caruso, and we are talking about her new book, Worthy of Wearing. Welcome, Nicole. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today, Crystalina.
So what made you write this book? And can you please explain to the listeners what this is all about? I'm excited for this.
So I have been wanting to write a book about style and faith since I was really young. But of course, you know, Christ doesn't reveal the whole story all at once. So it was a desire in my heart from a very young age. And then I went on to work in beauty industry as a makeup artist. I worked in fashion in New York, and I worked at Verily magazine, and just saw these kind of two worlds of, as I was kind of growing in my faith, and then seeing this world of fashion and beauty that was so much fun and so expressive. And I would say about 2 years ago, I had a little guy under one, and I had a four-year-old daughter, and I was just noticing again and again every single day, I was skipping over the clothes in my closet that I loved and just wearing that same old, you know, shirt and same old pair of pants every other day and just feeling pretty bad about myself. And so I started talking with women about this on Instagram, and we sort of together, all of us, came up with this idea that we're worthy of wearing these things, even though we may be just, you know, living a more ordinary life. So the book really is a complete full circle of my work in fashion, my love of my Catholic faith, and then just this love of writing and working with women and helping them grow in their confidence so they can do great things and really accomplish that mission that Christ gave them.
When I had my first son, it kind of just took me out. I call it mommy shock. And I know my listeners have heard that before. Like the first 3 months, I don't care if you have six, you have one, you have eight, whatever it is. And it lasts for about a good 3 months till I feel somewhat myself again and normal again and learning this new kind of life and how the baby integrates in the family and just new schedules and systems and just everything, right? But in that, there's also this time and this period of, okay, I'm a mom now, but I'm a mom of two or I'm a mom of three. And you don't just have yourself to take care of anymore. You have this other little person that's completely depending on everything from you. And it's so difficult because there's so much that is demanded on us as mothers, that it's hard to just kind of step back and take care of yourself sometimes. It's hard to step back and say, I don't have time to get dressed and cute and curl my hair and put my makeup on. I got some sweats. I have the same shirt maybe from yesterday, and we got to just go. It's time to go, you know, and to get into this rut of just this not taking care of yourself mode and just being frumpy around the house and just getting what needs to be done and not even taking that pause sometimes to pray. Do you see that happening to a lot of women?
I absolutely do. And I know in my own story, that was the case. That was everything. And after a period of time where I felt like I literally had nothing else I could give. I mean, I just felt like I had laid it all out there, you know, do take care of the home, take care of the kids, try to be a great spouse to my husband. I remember going to confession and just sort of having one of those really deep, heavy confessions. And the priest said to me, I had never had him for confession before. And he just said to me, you cannot give what you do not have. Like, you cannot pour from this empty cup. And I don't know why do you keep doing this? Like, your family needs, they need you, and they need 100% you, not 25% you. And I was like, wow, okay. That was like a huge shift for me. And I had to really like take it to prayer and say, Lord, what are you asking me here? Because I thought motherhood was putting my entire family before myself. And very slowly through spiritual direction and just some more reflection, I really started to see he needed me to kind of like put my armor on every day to get ready for my work. And for me, that was non-negotiable prayer time and taking a few minutes to get ready. Whether that was just changing my clothes on some days, that's all you can do is like literally change out of the pajamas into something else that's clean. Or, you know, going the extra mile when I could and putting on an outfit that made me feel really beautiful or really in touch with, you know, myself and feeling like, wow, I actually like the way I look today. Or taking some time to do my makeup and some skincare. So once I started to do that, I noticed a huge shift in actually being able to give more freely to my family, to have more cheer and confidence and to be more delighted in my children and not so quick to react, and not feeling like life was happening to me, but actually feeling a little bit of control in my day of like, okay, I can at least at the very minimum with little kids, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but at the very minimum, I took a little bit of time to talk to Jesus and I took a little bit of time to get ready. And it has just taken me on this incredible journey. And now I speak about it with women because I think it's so common.
Some people could say this is vanity. We're talking about vanity here and that it doesn't, these things just don't matter. Can you talk to those women that maybe are very mistaken what that actually means?
Yes, I think, you know, it's very common for women to see anything that involves makeup, clothing, shoes as materialism, right? Or being concerned about what others think of you. And I think when we really can understand that Christ made us body and soul, and we look at our body as a gift from Him, I think it changes our perspective a little bit, that we're not just taking care of ourselves so other people notice. We're taking care of ourselves as an act of gratitude. Like, Lord, thank you for making me the way that you made me. Thank you for this body that bore these children. Thank you for these hands that can care for my children and make things for my husband and create meals and all of these things that we can do as we serve in our mission. And vanity is when you are looking to be noticed and praised, specifically just for those things that you have on or just for the hair or just for the makeup. And I think when you really have to do an intentionality check with this type of thing here, you know, because we can be over scrupulous in our spiritual life. We can be super judgmental and not wear a stitch of makeup and not wear any clothes that are relevant to our modern society. And we have to be very careful of that. I think that's just something that has just been a trend where you say, oh, because she's putting forth effort, therefore she must be super vain, super materialistic. But I think clothing and just caring for yourself is, first of all, starts with how you feel on the inside. And when you feel good, you can do so much more for Christ. And when your intention is to serve Him and your intention is to serve your family with a cheerful disposition, the vanity dissipates. It just sort of melts away. It's not, I think we can say, let's go buy the most expensive pair of jeans because they have the label, or we can just buy the jeans that are going to fit us and serve the purpose and make us feel good. I think that's an obvious choice, right?
Yeah.
you know, I think that things can be taken too far, of course, but this worthy of wearing idea is not necessarily about ascribing to a certain style or wearing a certain brand. This is truly about wearing clothes that make you feel dignified and joyful and really make you think less of yourself throughout the day. Because when you take those few minutes in the morning to get dressed and you feel good, you honestly think less of yourself and you don't worry when you go to the bathroom and you look at yourself for the first time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go, oh, okay, yeah, I got dressed this morning. I feel good, you know, rather than thinking like, who is that?
I know, like, well, I'm going to scare my kids. I better do something before I pick them up. No, I get it. Like, I better change and brush my hair. Now, I think it also, this whole idea, it's also about your own self-worth, you know, because the idea of a Catholic mother with like 10 children is this frumpy, out of style, out of touch mom who is just like exhausted and worn out and tired and a mess, right? Mm-hmm. And just sick of her life, like this picture of it, right? And that's not the case. That's not true. Like, God gives us grace and beauty and joy and the strength to deal with all of it, you know? And I feel like the way we present ourselves to each other and also when we go out into the world should show like, well, I got this and God's got me. And that's why I've got this, you know, and not this mess. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know, clothing is such a way of connecting with other women. Yeah. And it's a beautiful tool for evangelization when we present ourselves in a way that is integrated and modern. We can have the big, beautiful family. We can go to Mass every Sunday or even daily Mass and be very, very devoted to Christ. And also, you know, there's this like sort of this gray area of like, well, what does that mean? But it does take some discerning. But we can also be women that look completely modern and relevant and attractive because that attracts people to want to get to know our story and ultimately want to get to know Christ and how he works in our life.
Absolutely. And not to have guilt in that. And everybody goes through stages, and this is no judgment on anybody in any way, shape, or form, because I've been there where, oh my goodness, I have maybe three children at the time, and I was just like, done. And I'm living in sweats and my hair is in a bun and I'm pregnant again and I'm in survival mode. And it's easy to just get stuck in that survival mode, right? And it's just day in, day out, and you get into this rut. And ladies, if you are in a rut right now and maybe you feel defeated at home and you are wearing that those leggings and a sweatshirt and your hair in a bun and you're just kind of done and you're just going through the motions, that you're not the only one. And I truly believe women go through this period when they do have a baby of that, because you're kind of just trying to figure it all out. And then you have to find your strength again. And really, at the end of the day, doesn't it just come down to our relationship with Jesus and where we're at, right? That spiritual inventory that a lot of moms just need to really take and check in, maybe even once a week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's seasons of life. We all have seasons of life that require different things of us. And I think, like you were saying, those first 3 months after having a baby, those are sacred moments. You know, you want to be laying in bed with that baby all day long as much as you can. And that is when we should really rejoice in wearing sweatpants.
Yeah. Free pass.
Exactly. But, you know, I think if you are one of those women right now who is feeling like I'm done, I'm in a rut, I don't know where to go from here, I would encourage you to just take one step. Make one new habit of praying at a certain time every day, really talking to Jesus, really giving him all of that uncertainty, you know, all of that just feeling of like, I don't know what to do next. Let him take the burden of that. Do one nice thing for yourself, whether that is doing like a little body scrub in the shower or put some lipstick on with your sweatpants and, you know, remember what your face looks like again, that this beautiful face that God made. I think these little tiny little habits can just build on each other. And then we'll start to find more time throughout the day of like, oh, hey, you know what? I have 10 minutes after I give my kids breakfast to go throw on some clothes and, you know, maybe brush my hair. And it just makes all the difference.
And the way we take care of ourselves as a mother and our own self-care really will overflow to our daughters, if you have daughters, and their own self-care and how they see you as they're growing up. Really, you kind of take that own persona on. And I watch my mother, my grandmother, and they took very good care of themselves. And I love watching my grandmother when I was little, just putting on her makeup, you know, and it was just so beautiful and fun to watch. And I learned a lot from my grandmother, and I did learn a lot from my mother, and I thank them now for it, because now I know to take care of myself, but also to teach my daughter to take care of herself. And those things matter, and just talking with your daughter and walking her through and teaching her just the basics of things, you know, and then it slowly gets a little more complicated, but also to take that time with your daughter in teaching her how to take care of herself, especially in those tween years. What do you have to say to those women?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is something I feel so strongly about. You know, we, like you said, we are modeling that for them, whether it's how we live out our faith, how we speak to others, how we go out into the world. They're watching and they're little sponges. And, you know, for us, that's one of the greatest gifts we can give them, is teaching them what authentic femininity looks like. Like, what does it look like to have to nurture other souls? You start by nurturing yourself. You know, you start by, you always start with yourself and modeling that for them. So I have a soon to be 7-year old, and she has taught me so much about femininity and about this just beautiful gift that God has given us as women to love others that are under our care and to embrace beauty as something that is a gift from Him. You know, He's the author of life. He's also the creator of beauty, and beauty attracts us back to Him. It's like a mirror of Him. And my little one loves to get dressed up for zero occasion, just because it's a new day. So I've just learned so much from watching her and saying, like, okay, if that's okay for her, I think that's okay for me too. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, we are talking with Nicole, and we are speaking about her Worthy of Wearing new book that is coming out. And I want to touch on, Nicole, women that maybe have that insecurity within themselves that it's hard for them to talk with their daughters, to talk with their daughters about femininity, their dignity, maybe their self-worth, because maybe they have mistakes in their past that hold them back, that they don't want to bring those things up. Because what if that ends up coming up in the conversation? Or how can I talk to my daughter about this when I made mistakes in that area, that they just don't do it at all? And that it's important that somehow, in some way, they make that bridge to talk with their daughters, even at a young age, about that dignity and self-worth and femininity, to just establish that in their relationships.
That is so, so beautiful. It's so true. We have to, I think there's a very kind of gentle way that we can tell our daughters, whether they're 7 or 13 or, you know, 27, that we can sort of have a healthy conversation and say, like, this is something really beautiful and really sacred. Your body is a gift from God. But you can say, you know, I didn't always understand that, or I've struggled with that in the past. I haven't been perfect about that. I think that a little tiny admission that we are human and that we make mistakes, it can go such a long way in creating a bond and really creating a respect between mother and daughter of, like, I love my mom. I think she is the most beautiful woman. I think she is a perfect woman, you know, especially when they're little, like, they think that we are the most perfect human beings ever. And it's so beautiful, but one day they will see that we are flawed. And I think it's important to let them know that we make mistakes, and that Christ still wants us and cares for us and desires us no matter how many times we fall. And letting them know that, and letting them know that we've fallen and had to return to Him and that He's accepted us with open arms, is going to teach them that no matter what mistakes come, they can always return. I think it's harder when we don't say that we've done something wrong and we paint this picture of this ideal, and then there is a mistake or there is a line that's crossed and they don't know what to do. So they just run in the other direction, you know?
Yes.
Teaching that Christ is merciful and that He desires us even in our sin is such an important thing to share with our girls.
Yes, because when they're running in the other direction, they're leaving their daughters behind for the world to teach them, if they know it or not, right? They're going to find the answers if they want. If they think they are or not, they are finding those answers because they are curious at a certain age, right? Just about everything. So for the moms out there, and I've said this before, but I just want to remind my listeners, if you are struggling with talking with your daughters about femininity and dignity or just any of those topics, get a journal. Get a journal to be a bridge between the both of you, and that just write your questions down and have her give it to you. And then you write the answer back and just find a way of communication. And then that way, when she is asking you questions or wanting to know about this or that, you can go and you can read it all by yourself, collect your thoughts, and then put them on paper for her. At least you're communicating in that way. And then maybe eventually start talking about things. But I know moms that are doing that now, and it has just been life-changing for their relationships with their daughters as they're getting older. So to do something, but don't leave it and not do anything, because that, I think, is the worst thing you could absolutely do. So one thing I want to get into is, how is self-worth not narcissism? Like, there's really this, I don't know, fine line between that, where people think it's a narcissistic thing, really get into your own self-worth. But we're talking more on a spiritual level and where God sees us. Can let's dive into that.
Yeah, I think we're in the middle of this just confusion in our culture about, you know, love yourself and self-love and self-care. And we hear all of these little terms and we're like, what does that mean? You know? But the difference between self-worth and narcissism is that I think narcissism is has more of a victim mindset of like, everything happens to me. And there's no relationship with God in that, you know, and I feel like self-worth for me is an acknowledgement of my dignity, that it comes from something much bigger than me, which is God. And that I'm made in his image. And therefore I should have a huge sense of self-worth because he thought I was special enough to make look like him, you know, and to be a creation that he deeply, deeply cares for and has given us, you know, intelligence and reason beyond anything else he ever created. So, you know, narcissism is different because narcissism is like the me culture. It's the entitlement. It's the competition. It's the, you know, having the best and latest and coolest things and really destroying what true femininity is by trying to be this sort of, I don't know, I just think of like the image of a Barbie doll, you know, like she's got it all and she's, you know, she's just, her friends adore her to the point that they are almost afraid of her, you know, and to me, that is not the woman that to me is the most beautiful woman that ever lived was Our Lady. And she is the example of what true self-worth and what true humility looks like, which is just acknowledging that I am a creation of God and he is going to tell me the life that he planned for me. And he's going to give me the grace rather than kind of fighting tooth and nail and like hustle, hustle, hustle. And like all of these things that we hear that are acting like everything depends on us rather, you know, it truly depends on Christ and us asking for that grace to do the mission he made us for.
Absolutely. And ladies, don't think you weren't created for a mission, that you're just at home and you're with your kids and that's all there is macaroni and cheese every night and watching cartoons and changing diapers and this and that. What you are doing is raising the next generation, and it's a big deal, and to raise them in God's beauty and his love and our faith's teachings, and it's a big deal. And we're honored to be able to do that. But there's also that flip side where it is difficult. It is hard. There are days where it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm going to wake up in a couple hours and do that all over again. Right. And yes. It's just like, oh, but that's okay. Because those are the days where you just have to dive deep. And that's where I call that mom strong. You just dive deep when you feel like you have nothing left. And that's where that grace of God is. And he makes us mom strong, where we just put one foot in front of the other and we keep going and we do what's best for those babies. We do what's best for our family. And you are mom strong. All of us are mom strong with the grace of God when we feel like we have nothing left, no steam. God is there with his grace to pick us up and just to keep going. Because when you're done and the newborn is just finally falling asleep and it's almost 5 in the morning and you've been up all night, and then all of a sudden your child starts throwing up as you hit your head on the pillow down the hall. And I've experienced that. It's like, Lord Jesus, help me right now. You know, and Jason's traveling. Yes. It was a lot. But I got through it with just praying to God, doing it with Jesus, finding that mom strong, putting that foot in front of the other, ladies. And you're not alone. And I promise you, you're not the only ones that maybe feel that discouragement. But during this time of COVID and maybe lockdowns, and a lot of things are changing around us and everything is so unknown at this point, it feels like, that it's okay within our homes to be joyous. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to move forward and live your life and not to get into this doom and gloom and depression and, you know, bring some joy and some happiness and love and enjoy going outside. Enjoy playing games with your kids. Just maybe buy some flowers and bring some just joy into your home, you know, something. But you have permission, and not even that we need it, to live your life and to be happy. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, I think that is the most powerful thing we can do in this sort of time where we've really scaled back and we're spending so much more time home. As the women of our home, it is our job to create that domestic church, to create mm-hmm. this environment of a sacred, safe yes. space for our family, where they feel the shelter of the world. They feel the most love. They feel they can truly let every guard down and be 100% themselves and mm-hmm. accepted. This is just such a gift God gave us of expressing our femininity in this way. And I have really grown into this layer of my life, I think, through all of this lockdown. You know, we added a couple more blankets to the couch. We got a couple mm-hmm. more candles around the house. You know, yes. just little things like this have just made an immense difference in making our home feel like a place that is not only a respite, but truly like a little corner of luxury here and there, like a little beautiful candle, a little plant, you know, mm-hmm. a little quote on the windowsill.
Yes.
These things can just make such a difference and be great reminders to us too of the bigger purpose of why we're doing this, especially when it's those crazy long days where you just look and at 3 o'clock and think, how am I going to get through another, you know, 4 or 5 hours of being a mom?
Exactly. Right. And you have to have that arsenal of things for your children to do that are like off the wall kind of things. I mean, literally, you can go to Walmart in the balloon section. Okay, I have my youngers and they just are bouncing off the walls by the end of the day. And I got these balloons that are ginormous. Okay, and it was like $1.50. And I blew them all up, the entire bag. And these huge, big balloons, they're just bouncing them around the living room and they're loving it for an hour. Just boom, boom. It was fantastic. And they were happy and they got their energy out. But there's little things that we have to do to think outside of the box now to just give ourselves the sanity when we feel like we're running out of it at the end of the day with our children, right? So there's a lot of fun, different things to do. And if you want to just make your house just a little more cozy for you or your family, I literally just typed on Pinterest how to make spaces cozy. And oh my goodness, just everything that pops up, that all of these things are at our fingertips, that we are not helpless in this, that we really control what happens within the walls of our home. And they're just those little things that you can do, ladies, to really just make the atmosphere better. And we are going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I am here with Nicole Caruso, and we're discussing her new book, Worthy of Wearing. Now, Nicole, let's get into some tips that women can do right now, even today, to start really kind of implementing this in their lives and just start picking themselves up and maybe just starting some new routines, self-care, all of that good stuff.
Yes. So I would say, you know, We always have to come from a place of starting with Christ. So I would look at your day and think of a time when you can take 5 minutes, whether it's with the Magnificat, whether you crack open the Bible, if there's an app that you love praying with, find a time every day that's a non-negotiable for you to get your prayer in. I love the Magnificat. I use it every morning because it reduces my decision fatigue. It's a no-brainer. I just open it for the day. It's ready to go. And that has just been a beautiful way for me to start my morning with Christ. And I think having a dedicated time where like nothing can come in front of it. My kids at first were, you know, rebelling, of course. They were like, hello, I'm hungry, you know. but just having that time and saying, okay, mama's praying, and they got used to it. They got used to it. And now they sit quietly and read with me. I mean, this is like years in the making, but they are starting to understand that that's a very sacred time of day for our family. And it's helping them also develop some good habits with prayer. So I think that's the place to start. And then the second thing is, you know, we want to feel good. Maybe we're wearing sweats a lot and we don't know how to connect the dots. You know, I think a lot of us have like this pre-mom wardrobe and we don't know what to do with it after we have kids.
Yeah, who is that person, right?
I know.
That's seriously, I was like, who are you? Who was wearing those clothes?
Mm-hmm. I know, all that dry cleaning that you just don't want to pay for anymore. It's just crazy. But I think the thing to do is to go in there, go in your closet and set aside the things that you really, really love that you couldn't part with and things that you think you can incorporate into your daily wardrobe, you know, your Monday through Friday. Because it, maybe you've got a blazer from the pre-mom days and you look at it and you think, okay, where am I going in that? You know, but that could look really cute with a plain white t-shirt and a pair of comfy pants or like a flowy skirt or something, while you're with the kids. Not to say that you need to be washing the dishes with your blazer on, you know, you can take it off, of course. But I think just having sort of some pieces that you can start to incorporate back into your life so that you're sort of, you know, integrating that pre-mom days with your current life, you know, because those things like that we felt confident in before, they're going to do the same thing now. It's just a matter of figuring out how do I work that into what I already have. And when you've got those few things set aside in your closet that you really, really love and you feel beautiful in and you feel confident in, take a look at the rest of it and sort of give yourself permission to figure out where that's going to go mm-hmm. or what you need to do with that. Because I think a lot of the time we'll open our closet and go, oh, there's nothing in here. You know, I can't wear any of this. So I might as well just wear whatever I pulled out of the dryer this morning. There's a very good chance that stuff is just taking up mental and physical space that you don't need. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to, you know, if it doesn't fit, if it's ripped, if it's, you know, just something that's not suiting your life right now, put it in a bag, you know, stick it in the garage or put it in the back of your closet. If you don't touch it for a month, I would say either try to sell it or donate it. Just pass it on. And let yourself just have the freedom of not having that thing taking up space anymore. You know, I think it's so much faster to get dressed every day when you've got a much more edited closet mm-hmm. and the things in it you actually like, you know, and then it's just instant. You can get dressed, boom, done, and not have to think about it again. So, you know, obviously as moms, we need to have clothes that can move with us, that we can bend in. So I like to, you know, look for fabrics that are stretchy, that are, you know, that washed well, that are easy to throw in and launder. So I, you know, always look for cotton. I always look for jersey or denim or, you know, just things that can, that last and also just look really polished when you put them on. You know, and it just depends. Some people are going to be more of a, you know, jeans or pants person. Some people are more of a dress or skirt person. It's just easy to kind of identify that. And then you can go from there and figure out how you want to start adding more things that suit your current season of life.
And ladies, there have been clothes in my closet that I'm like, those are just too nice to wear. They'll just get completely trashed, like that blouse or those pants, right? And I've literally just started wearing them. Like, okay, it gets messed up, but that's okay. I can always get another one down the road, but I feel good when I do get dressed. And not like I'm getting crazy dressed up around my house, but I'm getting to a place and a point where I'm wearing those cute khakis I love and that shirt. And is it get Play-Doh on it or is it getting baking on it or whatever it is in the day? Yes, that's okay. But I think there's something to be said, and at least for me and my own personality and what I go through, I want to feel put together. It helps me feel more confident around my home that I can tackle anything that comes at me in the day versus when I roll out of bed and I'm still in my sweats or robe or whatever else. It just, there is a certain sense of this confidence that does come with it. And I also feel like I'm honoring God when I am taking care of myself to the best of my ability, right? So even maybe of those shirts that you kind of just put aside, like, oh, I don't want to ruin them. It's like, well, what happens if you do? Like, what happens if you do wear that shirt? And will you ever wear that shirt again? You know, like, do you mm-hmm. feel like you'll ever go somewhere where you'll actually wear that? And half my clothes now? Probably not. So I'm going to enjoy those clothes for me, right? Because clothes aren't necessarily for other people to see you in. They're there for you and how they make you feel and to do the best you can in what you're doing in that day. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is such a mood lifter, you know, when we put on something that we feel beautiful in. And I think when we let those beautiful clothes hang in the closet, we're placing so much more value on the clothes and not ourselves.
Yes.
You know, if we're so scared to get our top dirty and scared to get it stained, why? You know, what is the reason that we have behind that? Why is that piece of clothing more precious than our confidence, you know?
Yes. And I love that your kids feel proud of you. Like the days my boys or my sons or my little daughter, mommy, you look so pretty. Or mom, you look really good today. Or, you know what I mean? And not that I'm fishing for compliments, but it's wonderful that your kids are proud of you. You know, I love that. Yeah. I love that. It's just something. I just love it.
It's really special. And I think it teaches them, you know, as they grow older and they are going to pursue relationships, they're going to pursue their vocation, whatever that looks like, you know, understanding how to like recognize your dignity with clothing is going to really take them so far, you know, wherever they're going in life and wherever Christ is calling them. But I love that too. When my son will say to me, "Mama, you look so pretty." I'm like, "Oh, you think so?"
I know.
It like means more when it comes from a 3-year-old.
You know, sometimes it does. It really absolutely does. And we're also teaching our daughters modesty with how we dress. And we're teaching our sons modesty with how we dress. And, you know, I read this like little rhyme and I absolutely loved it. And it's so true. Okay, ready? It says, "Raise your hands and touch your toes. If anything shows, go change your clothes." Right? Isn't that cute? It's cute. I'd never heard it before. And I could just imagine a grandma saying that, right? To somebody. But it's so true. And it's so easy to follow, especially after you have a baby and you're breastfeeding. You really need to be mindful of the types of shirts you're wearing, right? For a lot of reasons that you've got to kind of really think your shirts through sometimes if you're going out. And that's always just a good thing to follow there. I thought that was really cute. And with everything that you're saying, modesty does play a huge role in this, right?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, modesty is everything. It's it's actually more than just our clothing. It's our behavior. It's our speech. It's sort of like how we enter a room. It has so much to do with our entire disposition. And clothing is, of course, a part of that. And I just think that when we think of modesty, a lot of times we think frumpy, or we think like, you know, I'm covered from my neck to my ankles. And I think there is just so much style inspiration that we can see now of like how to look modest and modern and, you know, really embracing this gift of showing the body in a beautiful light with clothing to do that. And I always recommend to women, I'm like, you got to take the clothes for a test drive. So before you wear it out to mass or before you wear it to, you know, to visit a family member or something like that, wear it at home and see what it's like to bend and move and the buttons popping open when you didn't think they would, you know, things like that, that sometimes we don't take the clothes for a test drive and we're out and we're like, oh my gosh, this dress needs a slip. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Right. The simple things.
You know, so those simple things. And, really thinking of modesty as a way to attract someone to who you are and not the clothing you're wearing. Because when you're wearing clothing that is distracting, right? When there's things that are showing that move someone's eyes and to different parts of your body, it's immediately detracting from the person who you are. And it becomes like, what is showing, you know, essentially. So as I'm trying to, you know, figure this out with my own daughter who is about to turn 7, that's the best way that I've found to explain it to her, especially when we're out places and she might see someone and say, "Oh, mama, why is that woman's whole back showing?" You know, and I'm like, "Wow, gosh, isn't that a bit distracting? I wish that I wasn't just looking at her back and I could like see her eyes and see like what her story is and talk to her more." It's difficult though, you know, because you want to make sure you're not judging this person. And so that is difficult to sort of use someone who's right in front of you as an example. But sometimes these things happen and it's just a way to teach our girls, like, you know, what is okay? What is the boundary? What is our family viewpoint on this? And it's very much a matter of modeling that for them by what you wear and also setting some firm boundaries of like, okay, maybe your friend next door wears this, but our family doesn't do that. you know, and here's why. And I think that's going to be really powerful, especially as they get older and they start trying to experiment. And I know I was a very experimental teen who was trying to push the envelope because I wanted my friends to think I was, someone they should hang out with. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard. But I think if we can show that modesty can be fun and stylish and modern, it's going to be so much more attractive than the alternative, which always causes insecurity and just this feeling of like you have to perform or you have to wear this certain thing or you're not cool. But I know you speak a lot about this too. This is very dear to my heart.
No, it's really something that mothers have got to just slowly integrate, honestly, in their talk with their daughters on a daily basis almost. Or let's say you're driving down the highway and there's a massive billboard and it's like an elephant in the room in your car, you know, like there's something there and you have boys in the car and you have your daughters. And for example, just if that's happening, oh, I talk about it. I'm like, look at that sign, you know, like, and then we have a conversation in a good way and turn something bad into something good or saying a prayer or just talking through it. And, or, you know, there are ways to do that instead of avoiding it and pushing it down and suppressing things. At this point in this day and age that we're in, you've got to just go full-fledged. This is what's going on. This is how it's happening. This is what that was. And give your kids the information because they are literally, I'm telling you, going to get it somewhere else or that's going to pop up again or just any of these hard topics that come up like modesty, like self-worth, like all of the things that we as parents know we need to have conversations with about our children. The best way to approach it right now in this day and age is to just have that conversation and not to avoid the topics, but just matter of fact, have these conversations, not to avoid them. Because when you do that, I feel like it's hurting the child more than helping the child because they're getting bombarded with all of this anyway. So at least they know they can go to you as parents, as mothers, and talk about anything. And if you establish that kind of relationship down the road, and what I'm finding with my own teens, they're just coming to me with stuff now. I don't have to go fishing for it. They just come to me with questions or this or that. And we have just really good nonchalant conversations about hard topics because that's what I've kind of done throughout their life. And if you could just even start doing that now, it will change everything for them. And even just start talking to your daughters about beauty, femininity, modesty, all of those good things. It will really change the course of how the world affects them. Now, what other good goodies actually do you have in your book and just tips for women and moms that we can take away from it?
Well, I think in the book, I really try to integrate a sense of self and a sense of, you know, knowing what your story is, knowing what the contexts are that you are kind of living in every week. And using all of that as a journey of sort of building this identity of what your personal style is. And, you know, talking about our daughters too, our daughters may have a totally different personal style than we do. I know mine does. Mm-hmm. And, I've really tried to encourage that in her, and let her know that it's okay that we like different things and just letting her kind of experiment with what she loves in a way that's age appropriate for her. And of course, modest and all of these things. So I think that's something that I think anyone at any age can take from my book, Worthy of Wearing, is learning how to pick apart those things that make you feel good, those colors you love, that, that type of style you love. You know, I think a lot of us can maybe get ourselves stuck and think like, oh, well, I wore this all the time in college, therefore this is my style. But maybe there's something else, you know, maybe there's a movie that you loved with Audrey Hepburn and you just couldn't stop thinking about that outfit she wore and you want to try to recreate it. I would just give yourself the permission to try something, you know, style, makeup, these things are very, they're very experimental and we have to give ourselves a little bit of space to be creative and to try new things because ultimately we might find something that really suits us and makes us feel really great. So, the book is a total deep dive into, what the journey of self-worth looks like, what, you know, understanding who we are means to our style, and then also how to practically uncover what your style is. Because I think sometimes the fashion industry comes out as this authority of like, mm-hmm. this is what's in, this is what's out. And we need to just kind of mute that voice.
Yes, thank you.
You know, can we just like tell them that they don't know everything there is to know about style? Because they truly don't. They're not honoring women. You know, there's a very, very small handful, I think, of designers that try to dress women in a way that is dignified and beautiful. But ultimately what we see is a total like ignorance of what true femininity looks mm-hmm. like. So when we listen to them about what, you know, we should be wearing, it can create such a clash and such a resistance of like, this doesn't feel right, you know?
Exactly.
So really in the book, you're going to learn how to find what your style is, you know, what kind of elements of style that you want to bring into your wardrobe. And a lot of times it's formed by all of our experiences, whether we've traveled, you know, if we've lived in a different part of the country and that sort of, we just loved this kind of, let's say it's like, you know, maybe we lived in the Pacific Northwest and we love that kind of more outdoorsy vibe, or maybe we've lived in New York City. So we love a bit of, you know, black patent leather, you know, it's sort of taking these elements of where you're at and finding a way to incorporate them in a way that suits your day-to-day life.
Absolutely. What would you say are the keys to cultivating your femininity?
You know, I would say that the first place to start is in prayer, always. I would just ask Christ to really like take your journal and ask him to reveal to you the way that he sees you. And really take this to prayer, and maybe take it to prayer multiple times, because sometimes we see ourselves with this cloud of insecurity, mm-hmm. of all of our flaws, of all the things that we wish we could change or that we don't like about ourselves, especially if we've had very wounding experiences of our confidence or, you know, something in our past that was very traumatic. Mm-hmm. It can be very hard to see ourselves with that clarity that Christ gazes upon us with, where he just looks at us with this marvel of like, look at this beautiful woman I made. You know, we want to be able to see that from him. And I don't think we can cultivate our femininity without first starting there. And then once we've maybe gotten a sense of, you know, okay, you know, I have these gifts that Christ gave me. Maybe I'm, you know, I have the gift of bringing people together. Maybe that's a huge gift that Christ gave me. I connect people. Or maybe I have this gift of encouragement. So I know that this is something I do well, and this is a gift God gave me, and he needs me to use this gift. I think when we start to recognize those gifts that he gave us, those charisms that we have, we can really start to use those gifts to better the kingdom and to really develop what our femininity looks like. Because honestly, like, living out our femininity just looks like loving the people he puts in our life with, you know, complete devotion, not necessarily falling into that extreme that we talked about earlier in our conversation about like sliding into that mindset of like, I have to put everything on the line and be a complete slave to my to-do list, mm-hmm. but doing it in a way that's a complete self-gift, you know, that living that charity in our day-to-day, in our home, as ordinary as it may be, that's where we are going to see our femininity start to kind of ripple and touch the lives of the people that we love.
And maybe some of you moms are on burnout. Maybe you are living on burnout right now, and that is not how it should be. You should not be living on burnout and just being exhausted, even when you're getting up, and just never waking up in the morning and just surviving throughout the day, right? And if you need help, that's okay. If you need to outsource certain things or get a mommy's helper or an assistant to help you with whatever you need that day, do that. And maybe it's even just for a short time, just to help you get back up on your feet where you know you've got this again, right? And sometimes yes. we need to be humble, because that was my problem. Like, I can do this. I don't need help. I don't want a stranger coming in here. You know, I said that maybe five babies ago, you know, and it was just like, it was too much, but I was trying to do it all because that's what I thought I was supposed to do, right? I wasn't taught, and I didn't learn a lot of stuff from my mother of how to run a household. You know, she had a lot of other unbelievable, beautiful gifts and things she taught me, but running my household was not one of them. And it was humbling for me to say I needed help. And sometimes we have to do that. And that's okay, because in saying that you need help and getting help, you actually are making yourself stronger, right? And to do that, so you have time for that self-care, so that you can take care of yourself. You can spend time with our Lord. You can wake up in the morning to a clean kitchen and not wake up angry because the mess that's waiting there for you again. You know, there are different things that can help us really embrace our vocation instead of living in this just constant burnout survival mode. Because I really don't believe that is where God wants us. And there are things that we can do to get out of that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been there. I have been there so many times. And I think the thing that really helped me make a change was when I listened to a podcast from Father Mike Schmitz, and he talked about how we worry about being a burden to others.
Yes.
So we don't reach out. You know, we don't ask for that help. And really, the friendship and the relationship grows when we do reach out and say, I need help. I need you to come by for 30 minutes today so I can take a shower and shave my legs, you know, like seriously, like little basic things. And it becomes such a gift to that person, because then they get to live out and give of themselves, you know. So we may feel like we're a burden. We may feel like we don't want to ask, because then it's an admission of weakness. But think of the gift that someone else could be giving to our kids, to watch them for 30 minutes, or to have someone come and clean our home and we pay them well for a job that we just simply can't do that week, you know, and the gift that we can give them and that they can give us. It's really beautiful when we kind of switch our thinking on that.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes that burnout or that, I don't know, you want to be a burden on somebody else by asking them for help, you're actually burning out your family with your attitude, maybe, or you're being grumpy or not happy, and you're not joyful, and you're not that mommy or that wife that you used to be. That's when you have to kind of step back and say, yes, I need to ask for help, you know, because sometimes it's going the opposite direction. We're burdening our family with who we're becoming because we're not that person. You just maybe need sleep and shower and time to yourself without someone on you and yanking on you. You know, those things just matter. And it does all come back to your self-care, your self-worth, where God is at with you in your prayer life and in your femininity and your vocation and how you're living that out. It all does just connect and come together. And your book, Worthy of Wearing, really does bring and connect the dots of all of that together. I love it. It's beautiful. And thank you for writing this. I think it's going to help a lot of moms and a lot of women out there, especially if you feel like you've fallen into just that rut and you just want to feel like a woman again, you know, and not just a mommy all the time of just like constantly everyone taking and feeling burnt out. But there's just so much more, and it just doesn't have to be that way, right?
It doesn't. And Christ really desires us to always put him first. And in doing that, he will order the rest of the day. And sometimes like putting him first means the kids are going to wait 5 minutes for their toast.
That's right. And that's okay.
You know, and that's okay.
That is okay. Nicole, thank you for being here on Women Made New. I really appreciate you and everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was just lovely to chat with you today.
Now, where can women find you?
So they can find me on Instagram, and my personal account is at NM Caruso. And I have a Worthy of Wearing account as well, just Worthy of Wearing on Instagram. They can also find me at my website, NicoleMCaruso.com. And I also have the website for Worthy of Wearing, WorthyofWearing.com, where they can get more information about the book and the movement and then all of the fun things we're going to be doing to celebrate the launch for the book, which is coming on April 27th.
Yay, sounds like fun. Well, thank you for being here, and God bless.
God bless you.
For joining me here on Women Made New. And remember, ladies, today is a new day and he wants to do great things with you. Nothing needs to stay the same. Have a wonderful Saturday.